Welcome to the Added Value Podcast. I'm your host, Jules Thompson, and here we're talking all things influencer marketing. Through conversations with brand building professionals and the content creators who support these thriving businesses, we're uncovering what it's like to build a personal and professional brand in the social media age. We are gaining a better understanding of each other's perspectives, struggles, learnings, and expectations in order to better work together to achieve our common goals. We are owning the value we are all bringing to the table, making the influencer marketing industry more collaborative and effective. Thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get to the show.
I think the biggest thing that not only gained followers, but maintained followers was just being really transparent and making sure to stay in contact with people that commented or sent you messages in relation to things you were saying so that they felt like they could relate to you. You can have a ton of followers, but if people aren't buying into what you're saying or don't actually value what you're posting, then it makes you feel, you don't feel as motivated to post some of the content as well.
What is up, move makers and content creators? Today, I'm introducing you to a power couple, Katie McLennan and Rob Atkin. They are LA-based fitness coaches and content creators who absolutely kill it, bringing the value on Instagram. Plus, they definitely give me hashtag body goals. I have had the pleasure of working with them for the past year, and they are the perfect example of how you should be using Instagram to build your business. They focus on bringing value to their followers in the form of educational videos, workout ideas, tips on form, recipes, motivation, and so much more. I got to meet them at Expo West last year, and they are literally so kind and humble. Yes, they do look like fitness models in person too, making it super intimidating to stand next to them, but their respect and appreciation for our partnership was by far the biggest takeaway from spending time with them. In this episode, you'll hear a pretty funny story about what happened when they did a meet and greet with our co-founder. And on that note, it really goes to show how important it is to have relationships with influencers who truly align with your brand's message and values. Katie and Rob have been following our co-founder for a really long time, consuming his educational content, and that was influencing their passion for holistic health. Because they found value in what he was teaching, and then found value in the products that we offer as his company, the partnership is so authentic. We know their audience will trust their recommendation of our products based on their credentials in the health and fitness and nutrition space. And we give them extra value by featuring them on our Instagram TV, sending them new products that they're gonna use and love, all of that jazz. They have also been ambassadors with us since day one, since even before I was there. So in this episode, we also get into how they feel about ambassador programs, what they feel like the benefit is for them. And it was really cool to see their perspective and get some validation that, you know, they are actually getting benefits from our ambassador program and we're actually on a pretty good track. So if you are a brand who is thinking about starting an ambassador program for the influencers that you work with regularly, this is going to be really, really helpful for you guys in determining if it's going to be worth it for you. And then if you're on the influencer side and you're considering joining an ambassador program, have been invited to one and kind of want to hear some of the benefits or how it kind of should be played out and can be played out with different brands, this might be some helpful inside tips for you too. And aside from that, another really huge takeaway that you're going to find in this episode is that it's okay to adjust your focus. It can be really difficult when you gain a following having a certain aesthetic or message that you have on your page, but if you want to transform into something else that's more meaningful to you and that more so reflects your lifestyle and values, it's never too late. It was super interesting to hear Katie's transformation from a modeling type of focus to her now obviously fitness focus page, how she's gotten more fulfillment and success in her business because of that. So if you're considering that type of change, this is going to be really, really helpful for you as well. Now, recently, I've gotten a few messages about how to build a personal brand on Instagram, that type of content is super valuable for you all. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you because that is a very common theme throughout this entire conversation. Both Katie and Rob confirmed that their Instagram presence has 100% influenced and impacted positively their business. So gaining clients through their Instagram page has been a huge asset for them. They are a great example of converting followers to clients. So definitely follow them on Instagram and take note from this episode. You'll hear both of our dogs, which happen to both be named Leo, in this episode because we are a dog-friendly podcast. But if you enjoy this episode, please make sure to subscribe to Added Value Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow along on Instagram. Nice and simple. It's just at Added Value Podcast. And you can find industry tips there, new episode launches, updates, inspiration from, you know, previous podcast guests. And of course, I love it when you connect with me, send me messages, let me know your feedback about what's really helpful and valuable for you. And then also meet other friends of the influencer marketing industry. As always, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Katie and Rob. Well, tell our audience a little bit about who Rob and Katie are separately and as a couple. And we'll just start there.
Rob, I'll let you go.
Okay. My name is Rob Atkin. I live in Los Angeles and I am a personal trainer out here. Been here for like 4 years now.
About four years now.
I'm going to my fourth year. I know. That's crazy. I feel like I just moved here.
You're native.
I know. And I felt my first earthquake, so I'm definitely a native.
That's a whole other thing.
Been a personal training here since I moved. I also launched an online fitness e-course and program that allows me to work with people anywhere in the world. And that's been going really well. And I've been doing that for about 3 years as well. And these days, doing like a combination of that and private training. Katie?
And then, so I'm also, my name is Katie, and I'm a trainer as well here in LA. I also teach Pilates, and I came on board with Rob to do the online coaching too. And together, we also do nutrition coaching. Train people in person and both online. And I think together, you know, once Rob created his online coaching brand is when I got brought onto the team as well. And so now we sort of like work together building programs for clients and creating a system in which people can reach out to both he and I as they go through their fitness journeys for different opinions.
Yeah, I was going to kind of get into how you guys work so well together and how that started. Like, did you work together before you started dating or did that happen after?
Well, we worked at the same gym. that's how we met. I was actually like my first like day there. I was, or like first month there, I was working like at the front desk at Equinox.
Which is like a really well-known gym. And I was a Pilates instructor at the time, and the gym we worked at in particular gets very sceney. And I remember seeing this kid at the front desk. And so as soon as I saw him, I went up to everybody and I was like, who's this new kid at the front desk? And so it's funny because I was the one that pursued him initially, but we both worked at Equinox together.
And it was cool too, because we kind of clicked right away because it's like, you know, it's very like in the scene, it's very like entertainment, but you know, like, it was cool like meeting like a normal person, because I could tell within like the first like month or two being there, I was like, this is a lot different than like anywhere else I've lived. If that makes sense.
For sure. And Katie, I pursued my husband too. So I'm a fan of that approach.
You just got to go after what you want.
I love it.
Exactly. And so since you guys moved to LA, where did you guys live before then?
I'm actually from Northern California, and then I moved down to Southern California for college. And once I graduated, I moved into the more prominent LA area, like West Hollywood. And I started doing my training as a Pilates instructor first. And then from there have just been working through Equinox and then on to working for myself, which is really nice.
I'm from Boston originally. I was actually, like, before I moved out to LA, I was working at a full-time desk job in Boston. And I went to school out there as well, but I kind of made like a sudden career change and then moved out here. All within like a couple months. Like it was pretty quick how I did it. Landed out in Los Angeles. I had family out here, so I would like come visit, and I was always like, oh, I'm gonna move here. And then finally, like, you know, I just decided like, hey, I'm gonna do this right now. There's no other time. So
what got you into fitness in the first place? I know I have a very specific memory and story of kind of when I fell in love with health and fitness, and I would love to hear your why behind what you do.
Well, so mine, when I got into health and fitness, I've really like been in fitness for years. Like I worked out throughout high school. I was really big into training just for like sports and, you know, just sports and conditioning, different things. In college, I kind of like did my own thing within fitness, but, you know, did like a little bit of like, I guess you would say just like bodybuilding, but like standard, like go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. But really like after college, I made a big lifestyle change. I was, you know, I was going out a good amount and like I was drinking way too much. And like, I was really just not like a healthy lifestyle, I guess. But after I graduated, you know, I started taking a lot more serious. And then I like, you know, I started to realize like, wow, like, you know, I feel so much better. Like as I'm, you know, like really like not just working out, but also like getting healthy at the same time. And that really helped me like transform and just feel so much better. And I like, you know, I had a lot of anxiety and, you know, different things before that, in fitness and, you know, just like being aware of my health, really allowed me to like make a big transformation for me. So that's when I got into it. And like around the same time when I moved to LA.
I know Katie moved out and you originally wanted to be a model, right?
Yeah. And so that's actually partly how I got into the fitness industry. And in a sense, looking back at it, I feel like I got into it for the wrong reasons. And that was because of coming out of college, I wanted to model. And that came with, I wanted to model, and that came, you know, with a lot of hindrances in that I needed to maintain a certain weight and look a certain way. And so for me, I felt like the Pilates was the one thing I could do and I could teach without building a ton of muscle or worrying about looking a certain way, and kind of develop some poor eating habits. And then after about a year alone into that, I then got introduced more into the weightlifting world by Rob, actually. And so once I started doing that, I started learning more about personal training and, you know, focus more on getting stronger as opposed to trying to look a certain way. And from there, my eating got better. And so even though I started from a little bit of had more of a rough start, it's helped me to be a better coach because now I can relate to people who may be going through or who have gone through the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that having some sort of relationship with a past that's not as, you know, health friendly definitely gives you a better perspective. I was actually a coach for 3 years as well. So I know exactly what that feels like in the best way to, especially, you know, because you guys look in a mirror and you're in such great shape. I remember you guys walked up to our booth at Expo West and someone was like, a complete stranger came up to me and was like, do you have to have abs like that to meet Dr. Axe? And I was like, no, she just works hard for it. So earned it. No, but that's such an important point. And I think it's very relatable in a sense to Instagram as well, because I think the, you know, really important trend going on right now is authenticity and how you guys share your struggles as well as your wins. And you guys do such a great job at motivating people through that platform. So when did you guys get into Instagram and how did you start growing your accounts?
So when I actually, when I was still working at Equinox, I was personal training there. I, met a couple friends who got into Instagram really early. And I just saw like how awesome they were doing. And I was kind of like following their, you know, like their growth with it. And, you know, at the time I was kind of like nervous to like put myself out there. It was kind of before like really everyone, like a lot of my, you know, until it was like, I would say it's really normal now to like be able to like put yourself out there and start, you know, launch a company and do different things and like, you know, pursue something different. But anyway, like my friends who were doing it out here inspired me. And then, you know, I just, from there, I like decided to, you know, start marketing myself. And like, that's when I launched the online, you know, fitness programs that I had. And, you know, from there, it kind of just took off. And, you know, I've been using Instagram as a platform, not just for marketing, but just to like, you know, just to be able to help as many people as possible. And that's something that I still like try to do, continue to do.
Awesome. Yeah. And so when you, I'm going to get kind of in the minutia and in the details here, because for me personally, you know, I just started my Added Value podcast page, and that's kind of like my business page. And it's hard to get people to want to follow you. So what do you think attracted people to both of you guys at the beginning that they really wanted to sign on and follow you?
You know, helping people with like through Instagram, helping them with fitness, but also like relating to people and saying like, hey, like I've been through this, or like, you know, like really opening up. I opened up about like things most guys don't open up about, like anxiety and, you know, different things. And it was funny, like as I would post things and write these like long detailed stories of things that would happen to me in the past, I'd have people reach out to me. And it was actually a way of like getting, being able to reach more people and grow, which I think like being able to relate and open up is huge, as you were saying before.
I had more of a kind of model-based Instagram. And, you know, when Rob's Instagram really took off with the fitness, he encouraged me like, hey, you know, you should try this online coaching. You should try to put yourself out there more as a fitness professional instead of just posting pretty pictures that people would like or comment. But it didn't translate into anything for me business-wise. So from there, I kind of started stripping my Instagram page of things that I didn't think would look professional or anything that didn't relate to fitness. And from there, started creating more content. And then, of course, like Rob said, I think the biggest thing that not only gained followers, but maintained followers was just being really transparent and making sure to stay in contact with people that commented or sent you messages in relation to things you were saying so that they felt like they could relate to you. That really was a huge help, just because then, you know, you can have a ton of followers, but if people aren't buying into what you're saying or don't actually value what you're posting, then it makes you feel, you don't feel as motivated to post some of the content as well.
Retweet. Yeah. You brought up so many great points there. And I think it's really interesting to note that you kind of had a niche or kind of a category that you were growing your Instagram as, and then you switched it. Did you get any kind of pushback? Was it difficult or was it pretty seamless?
I actually got a lot of positive reinforcement for it. And that was because, you know, I posted a lot of modely pictures. And then so when I started posting more fitness related things, and I even went into talking about an eating disorder that I went through, I got a lot of feedback from other people that were happy that I shared it with them and that they then shared their stories back to me. So I didn't get, I think I lost a lot of followers that were kind of seeking something else from me, whether that be just being able to like comment heart faces or little kissy faces and things like that. But I was actually happy to have some of that go away anyway. So it really kind of worked out a lot better than I anticipated.
Yeah. And that's, it's all about the quality of your followers, not just the quantity. So it's so great to have an example of someone who knows, hey, if I lose followers, but I gain more engaged, more in line with my brand and what I'm talking about, and people who are actually going to enjoy the content that I'm putting out there and get value from it, then in the long run, that's exactly what I want. And that's going to be what helps me propel forward.
Right.
Amazing. So I want to hear your interpretations of each other's coaching styles, because you guys do help each other out and collaborate a lot on different Instagram stories. I know you have done an amazing IGTV for us in the past, but if someone wants, I mean, obviously they should follow both of you guys, but what kind of differentiates you guys from each other?
Oh man, this is a funny one.
I laugh because Katie is like, you know, one of the, I think she's amazing at building like programs. And that's something like in the beginning too, like, you know, in the early stages when we first like started doing a lot of this and doing coaching, because, you know, we operate under the same program. So, you know, we help a lot of the same clients, but Katie's programming and like how she can, you know, the way she makes workouts is amazing. Like, it's really awesome the way she puts things together, but they're like brutal. To the point where it's like I'm like, I don't know if I could get through her workouts sometimes, but her workouts are like, they're really fun. She's great too with, you know, adding like a lot of core and different things that I wouldn't normally throw in there because of like the Pilates background. And I think it's a really cool, also like different, you know, different style of, you know, you can use with the training, but her programming is just like relentless. Like, I feel bad for her clients sometimes. Like, I'll be in the gym and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. They love it though. They have awesome workouts.
That is amazing. Girl after my own heart, except for I'm also scared of you now.
And she has like a pink notebook. So like, she'll open up a notebook with the programs in it, which just makes it like way more, it's just hysterical.
Like, I look professional, but then as soon as I, you know, give you the workout, you have to take it more seriously.
Cause yeah.
I come in for blood on those workouts sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're fun though. I mean, I've learned a lot just from hers as well. It's really cool. What about mine?
And then, so Rob's, every time I see him coaching, he just holds such a great composure, staying calm, cool, and collected. I remember when I transitioned from Pilates into personal training, I would really look up to him because I would find myself running around and grabbing different pieces of equipment and kind of exhausting myself. And then I would see him, you know, really composed and keeping a well-maintained session. And so I think I try to learn a lot from him in that sense and staying very like calm, even when a situation may come up that a client doesn't like a certain exercise, or even if a client were to come to you with a question, he handles questions really well and is able to talk about nutrition in the midst of a really tough workout. Things that like benefit clients a lot.
So you guys talked a little bit about the different types of content and subject matters that you discuss with your clients, whether it's in person or online. And I know, you know, Katie loves to share different types of recipes on her page, as well as you guys do a fantastic job of doing video content. So I'd love to kind of hear your strategy behind what you guys post, and even if you're willing to go into a little bit of the analytics and if, you know, that has any impact in how you plan your content.
So for me, like, I, you know, like, I've like experimented with a lot of different types of, you know, just videos and like different types of posts and pictures, and kind of like what we're going back to before about like the professionalism is like, If you post a picture like Katie was talking about, like a
sexy going out picture,
like
not yeah.
a going, you know, like, oh, like a, on a beach, like shirtless or whatever, yeah. like you just like you get more likes, but at the same time, it's not people. I find that like I'm not like you're not people aren't seeing like what you're doing or like your service, and like it's cool to have like appealing content, but you know, fitness is a weird world where you like yeah. want to distinguish yourself as a professional and not just like, hey, I'm like this person who just, you know, takes pictures of my shirt off, you know? And it's really tough to like, to do the two. So recently, like, you know, I've been gravitating more towards the video content and just trying to like, you know, just portray, you know, give people like, I've been giving a lot of free workouts out on my page, but also like trying to help people in that sense, but not like been straying away from the pictures a little bit more. Cause as I would post like pictures that were like, not as, I don't know, like not shirtless basically, like those type of pictures, like you wouldn't see the engagement on it. But on the videos I do. So that's kind of something like I've done recently. What about you, Kate?
And then for me personally, so mine's a little different in the sense that my videos tend to do really well. I mean, per week, my goal is to post a picture and then a video, another picture or a recipe and a video, and try to sort of keep a pattern going like that. I think my workout videos do really well, especially the core exercise ones, and that's just kind of been my niche from the start, given the Pilates background. I'm just starting to get into more of the like recipes and baking and sharing food items like that. And initially I was sharing like a lot of snacks, but more so just to my stories. And I would get a lot of good feedback from that. And now I want to show people, since I really dived into the health and fitness world, I want to show people how to incorporate healthy foods that will accommodate a more athletic lifestyle. And so I've started posting recipes that, you know, are free from some of the top allergens or free from like top inflammatories and contain a lot of protein and have good macros that you could pretty much eat at any time of the day, whether that were breakfast, pre-workout, post-workout, or at dessert. And that's just because I think there's kind of an undiscovered area there in that athletes eat a certain way, and that it's very plain and boring. And so my hope is to kind of show that you don't have to eat chicken, rice, vegetables, and that's it to maintain it, you know, a healthy and fit lifestyle, but your food items can become more creative and enjoyable that it stays varied throughout the week.
Wait, if I could just interrupt for a second, which are like unreal, by the way, I get to try all these out. So like, I'm kind of the guinea pig of all of them. And honestly, like her, she's got it down. Like her Cinnabons remind me of like Cinnabon. Was that the place?
Cinnabon. Yeah.
Cinnabon. Like it tastes exactly like it. And it's like, they're really low calorie too. And you know, like she said, like, it's not like a lot of artificials and things. So don't sleep on those. I would definitely try those out.
It's a new.
Oh, I'm not. I'm here for it.
It's a newer facet of mine that I'm kind of like exploring, just because I was known more for, I think, like the fun snacks that someone else created or another company made. But now that I'm kind of like trying to make my own snacks or encourage people to make more foods by themselves, as opposed to like buying products that they don't actually know what's all going into it.
Yeah. And I think that when you think of someone who specializes in core activity, what comes to my mind is abs are made exactly in the kitchen. Kind of be remiss not to at least throw a nod to that. And obviously, you know, what you eat plays a big part into fat loss and things like that. So I think it's awesome that you're doing that. And what I'm really hearing from you guys is that you put out content where people find value, and you really do focus on that first and foremost, which coming from a brand is just super refreshing to hear from influencers. Because, and I've always thought this about you guys, is your number one goal is providing value to your audience and to the brands that you work with. And it's so evident by how often you show up for everybody around you. And something that influencers get a bad rap for is that this is easy, or, you know, they're just pretty people. So of course they get a bunch of likes, but you put so much time, effort, thought, and energy, Leo agrees with me, that I would love for you guys to chat through what a week or a day in the life with you guys looks like, planning out content, and how much time you actually spend creating all of this value.
Well, I'll just say it is not easy.
It is not easy.
Because it really is like, on top of, you know, on top of working and training, we, you know, on top of working with people and, you know, just work, doing your regular job and, you know, for us, is, which is training, like finding hours in the day to like, to put a lot of time into like editing videos, or like for you, like editing podcasts, or, you know, editing pictures. It could be literally anything, you know, writing, like, I'm sure you, like for Ancient too, just writing, like, you like find some like catchy material to use, and like writing posts and emails or whatever it is. Yeah, it takes a lot, especially like trying to build your own brand, you know, on top of like working. I think it's, you know, it's pretty difficult, but for us mostly, we use weekends a lot, mm-hmm. to try to just batch content together. Like I'll try to create like stories, and I'll try to create, you know, we'll get all our videos done and, you know, start to work on those and put those together on the weekends. And then just come up with a, you know, a plan for the week of saying like, you know, I'm going to post like Monday, Wednesday, or like Thursday, or, you know, and kind of just move things around like that way.
Yeah. Well, or, you know, you guys obviously are such a great team and help each other. Do you guys kind of divide and conquer on different parts of the content, where Katie's better at this or Rob's better at that?
Yes and no. I mean, I think we both kind of like have our own content that we create. Like when it comes to my recipes and stuff, I pretty much will do that myself. Of course, Rob's my designated taste tester, so he's always good for that. But I think like for our workout videos, we make sure that we take each other's videos, just because I know how he likes his exercise to be shown, and he knows how I like mine. So I would say we do about half and half in terms of like making sure each other's content is to the quality that we would like.
And I guess like doing it on your own too, like figuring out, cause like another big part of it is like to stay, you know, to stay like relevant and like keep it going. Like you have to research too, yeah. And like know what new apps you're using. And like, I've used like, you know, I switch video apps almost like, you know, every 6 months. Cause it's like, oh, there's a new one out, or there's something that's better. And it,
there's, you know, a new style of
it. Yeah. Editing. It's so fast though, the way things are happening, yeah. And the way like Instagram keeps changing is like, you got to change the size of the video. And like, you know, like this is more appealing, or like you can, there's IGTV and there's this, and, you know, there's so many different like facets of it now, and there's so many different parts that it's like you have to keep learning things so fast. Like it keeps you definitely on your toes.
Yeah. And that's another great point. How do you guys keep on top of trends? You're pretty good at, I can see, like adapting quickly as far as incorporating more videos and even taking it a step further with how you guys add captions to them as well. So what motivates you or inspires you? Who do you follow? What do you read that kind of keeps you on top of those trends?
I honestly think Rob is like really great at staying on top of it. Half the time, if I adhere to a trend, it's because he's filled me in on it. So I'll let him take over on that topic.
Yeah, I mean, like I think like even a couple of years back when I kind of started the whole, you know, launch my Instagram thing, and I said like, you know, it was kind of, I didn't want to like, you know, it was tough to put myself out there. You know, there's always people who do it first too, and I see, you know, I'll see, you know, I guess I like, you know, I'll see bigger pages and bigger accounts do things. And I guess for me, like, you know, seeing like a lot of people putting video out there, and then, you know, I do research it. Like I'll go on some sites. I have a couple of clients, who also have like social media marketing companies. So they definitely help. So, you know, just from gathering information and the people who I follow, I kind of just try to like replicate that to the best of my ability. So, you know, the people with the really big accounts and how they're, you know, they're gravitating to like video, you know, for me, I was like, okay, video is huge. Like, this is what we got to move to next. You know, even like IGTV, like starting to put things out, which, you know, I've kind of been slacking on, but it's in the sights. Yeah. Just seeing where the trends are at.
And you say that like it's easy to just like up and adapt to something new. How did you teach yourself how to create and edit and put together all of these awesome videos?
I've been pretty like savvy with that. So like, that's something, you know, even before I went to, when I was in school, I went to school just for media studies, but, I always really liked like video editing, and, you know, I would create like even like fun, like videos that I wouldn't post, like, even in like high school and different things of me, like playing, like whether it was like sports or, you know, just doing stupid things with my friends. So I've like always been kind of like savvy with that, but, you know, I've really started to get into it, you know, recently, just because, you know, to attract people and to like establish yourself, you know, as a brand, a professional, and like have attractive quality. You know, I think creating videos that are on point with like, you know, the big pages, like who do we like Achieve Fitness? We love like
Achieve Fitness, like Boston. Yeah. They're great.
Or if you don't know them, like the Gary V's and the people who like create videos that like these viral, crazy videos, you know, just trying to like replicate what their videos look like. I've just, you know, had to go through like a lot of tutorials, and whether it's like YouTube or, you know, I've even paid for a couple online ones to like learn new ways to edit. And it keeps happening. You know, I continue to like try to learn from each one too.
Speaking of which, it's all trial and error out here in the Wild West at social media. So is there anything that you've ever posted that maybe got negative feedback or maybe just really low engagement? And what did you do or learn from that?
I think for me, maybe recently, like some of the more just simple pictures that don't provide much value aside from like it being a nice picture don't get as much engagement, but like things that have a lot of value, the workout videos do really well. So I think videos have kind of been the biggest change in terms of, you know, what people want. And so opposite to that then is that pictures haven't been doing as well.
For me, like it's been more like focusing on the quality rather than quantity. So I know like I would feel like there's like pressure to post every single day, you know, and I would just kind of run out of things to post with or talk about. So for me, like, you know, just being realistic with myself and knowing that like, okay, I can't have, you know, like 5, 6, 7 posts a day, kind of throwing something up there with a quote or something I stole from the internet. Me, like, you know, what I do now is just take my time with it. And if I get like 2 or 3 pretty good ones a week, like awesome. Like some weeks if I'm, you know, if I'm super busy at work, it's just gonna be, you know, it might be 1. Just depending on, you know, what's going on.
For sure. And I think it's also important to realize that consistency is important. And that means that not every single post is going to be a home run. So it's just kind of about playing, like you mentioned, Gary Vee, he's always talking about the long-term game. So even if something is, you know, not every piece of content is going to be viral or something like that, you're still showing up for people and you're still putting yourself out there, which I think in itself is an important lesson. Exactly.
Totally. And I mean, like that's something too that has changed. You know, what I used to do too is like try to just go for likes. Like I used to be like so afraid to put something up. For me, it was more like my videos didn't do as well. I would post a lot of pictures of like just cool looking pictures, whether it was like, you know, on vacation or like, you know, like on the beach or whatever, like more pictures that were like shirtless pictures or picture of me and Katie, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, I would use those pictures to try to just get likes. If I didn't have one of those, I'd be like, oh, I can't post today. Now what I do, and I know it's going against a little bit what I just said, but now, like, you know, I don't really care as much about like, I, you know, I care about the engagement, but I don't care about the likes when I post. You know, I just try to stay consistent, and like people who like follow will know, like, you know, I'll try to like post, like I post like infographics and different things that I'll use during the day, and I'll post those every single day. But you know, for posts, you can expect 2 or 3 like solid like videos and maybe like a picture post like each week. And that's something, you know, I continue to hustle and like, you know, try to make it that happen. Although, like I said, you know, some weeks it gets backed up.
But you're totally allowed to take breaks. You're totally allowed to take time off. And do you guys, since you work so hard and fitness is your life, do you ever experience that burnout?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just hard depending on like, if your clients get backed up and you have a ton more in-person clients that you feel less motivated, and you also just have less time in general to kind of create content.
Or you get a new puppy who just wanted to jump up on the table.
Yeah, the puppy has also been a really big thing. I mean, sometimes like life just gets busy, and so you do kind of put posting on Instagram on pause. And you know, there are some downsides to that. You'll lose some followers, or when you go to post again, you may not get as much engagement as you normally would have. But I feel like even with those little pauses, as long as you, once you get back to it, try to stay consistent and make sure you're posting really quality content. Because I think that like contributes to a lot too, is that even if something doesn't get a ton of likes, as long as you stand behind it, you feel like it's quality and someone who's following you could benefit from it, I think that people will over time like continue to like your page or like the content you post. So even if it's not getting a ton of engagement, if it's quality, then people will follow that and trust you as an influencer.
And I think too, like kind of what Katie was saying is that like, by, you know, when I first started posting a lot of my fitness stuff, you know, it was a lot of my friends and, you know, people who followed me and whatnot. And they were kind of like, whoa, like you're just putting out, you know, you just changed your whole like fit vibe and page to like, this is just like this fitness person. But you know, like Katie said too, like knowing what your message is and just continuing to post that, like, although I didn't like, it didn't start off that hot and it didn't start off like booming crazy business or like, you know, I started getting, attracting all these followers over time I've attracted, you know, and as I've tweaked mine and like continue to find out what the message is, attract the people that I want, you know, and it's funny, like I, you know, you get people who I still follow and like people who, you know, they don't have to be my clients. I don't have to work with them online, but like they follow and they're like, oh man, I really loved like this workout or like this tip you posted. And, you know, you stay in touch with those people and you talk to them throughout the time and you continue to grow and find more of the, you know, same type of people.
I think that's a great point. And I wanted to chat with you guys a little bit about that specifically. Do you feel like the community that you've created online has translated into online clients or in-person
Definitely.
Clients?
Totally. Yeah. 1,000%.
I would say the majority, any online client I've had has come from Instagram and me posting content there. Are they seeing something I post in regards to nutrition or training and them seeing that and wanting to work with me? And so it came from Instagram itself.
And I think it's such a like useful business card. It's almost like a necessity these days. When people, either if they found me on like Google or Yelp or like anywhere, and they wanted to just see what I'm about, which, you know, it's happened with a lot of my clients, and they hop on your Instagram and they're like, oh wow, like I really like this guy's message, or like I really want to train with Katie. She's, you know, I love like her post, or she, you know, what she talked about. And I think just being able to like use Instagram to portray that information and just lay that to other people. And like I said, attract the clients that you want has been super helpful. And I've seen, you know, I've seen a lot from NKDS as well. So.
Is there anyone in particular, and you can keep it vague, but a situation that really stands out to you from translating someone who is like a virtual relationship almost into a real life or a really meaningful relationship?
Well, I can say that one of my clients who, you know, I see three times a week, you know, he found me through Instagram. And he was just like, you know, he reached out and he was like, hey, thinking about training, you know, I got really inspired by like this post you wrote and like, how do we work together? Like, I live in LA, let's get started. And that's someone who's like, you know, grown into like a really good friend, and we spend a lot of time together, see him during the week a lot, but you know, it's been awesome because you can see like, you know, as just following from Instagram where that's gone from. And it's cool how you can translate to the real world.
I guess for me, I've had my online clients that have, you know, I've gotten through Instagram or social media. Each week we set up calls, and over time, like through the calls, after gaining them as a client, you become pretty friendly with them. And, you know, you hear a lot about their lives and what they're going through and how you can, you know, make changes to whether it's their nutrition or their training, depending on, you know, what type of coaching they signed up for, but how you can help them. So I think almost every online coaching relationship with the ones that do follow through the entire program end up having some sort of meaningful relationship, because a little more in depth onto like what our online program is, we don't give everyone the same program. Ours is fully customized and, you know, it's built on a week-to-week basis. So it changes all the time. And sometimes we make changes if people are going through something, or, you know, we get to hear about their life experiences or how they went out to a restaurant and had trouble ordering, or, you know, certain things like that. But I think they all end up leading into a more meaningful relationship, because you become friends with these people after spending so much time working with them.
Yeah. And I've seen that with, you know, almost all my online clients. I've got, had clients too, that like, you know, from the East Coast or even like different countries, and they're like, oh, hey, I'm in LA. You know, we've met up for lunch, right, and we've got to, you know, we've got to see each other. 'Cause you spend, you know, even the online coaching, you spend a lot of time, like, you know, talking and catching up. And like Katie said, you know, you customize it to, you know, their lifestyle and what's happening, what's going on. So although, you know, we're doing like a 3 month or 6 month, whatever it is, like fitness program, you know, you do learn a lot about other people, and the way that we do it, like, it's definitely really in depth too. And it allows you to like really develop those relationships.
Her, how much time do you spend in your DMs responding to people's questions, like on a weekly basis?
Man. That one gets up there, and every influencer you talk to may say something different. I personally try to answer almost every single question I get, as long as it's, you know, appropriate or relevant. And I think I have so much OCD, so I definitely try to answer them every day. I can't stand to like have that little message number sitting in the corner. So I would say per day I spend at least an hour or two, or by week maybe a good 10 hours answering people's questions, depending also on the complexity of the question, because some questions you'll answer and that's the end of it, and then some questions answered lead into more questions and so on.
Recently, you know, as like business, you know, the training and online and doing all that has been, you know, it's been great. I've been like been as busy as I've ever been, but you know, a lot of people who I've been working with, you know, has it's happened, and it's, you know, I've gotten a lot of business from Instagram. So I still, you know, although like I'm, you know, I've been crazy busy, and I've been, you know, honestly, I've been like slacking, like not as good as I used to be about it, which happens. But I mean, I still, you know, the other day, like I went through and I was like, you know, I'm going to take a solid like hour or 2 hours to like go through messages and see like, you know, who I haven't responded to, if there are messages like I haven't read. Because, you know, it is something not just for business. That's what I used to do. And that's how, like, you know, it's able to help me like get to where it was business wise today. So, you know, I still try to carve out time and say like have designated hours. I wouldn't say hours, but like designated like half hour to be like, I'm going to go through messages this week.
And I personally think it helps, answering people's questions helps to keep you grounded almost like as a quality influencer, because if I'm putting out all this content to people and then people are coming back with questions relating to that content, if I'm not answering those questions, it just makes me feel more of almost a facade if I'm not following through with what I'm posting. So I think it's really important to kind of stay in touch with your followers and making sure you're following up with any questions they may have.
And it just keeps you sharp. Yeah. You're like, oh, I don't know the answer to this one. Like, I'm going to research it and figure it out. That happens to me a good amount of time. You end up like learning a good amount.
And that's, you know, this is, oh, I just love you guys, because it really points out, and if people paid more attention, they could see, because, you know, people say all the time, oh, you know, how do you know if an influencer you're working with is authentic or not, or they're worth it, or, you know, we're aligning your brand with, which is a big deal when you think about it. And things like what you guys are describing, going the extra mile for the people who follow you, they're not just a number to you guys. They really matter to you, and you want to take the time to give back to them outside of what you're already doing with giving them content. And I just, you know, a lot of people underestimate the care and the attention that influencers, if they're going to be successful and have staying power, which you guys obviously have, you know, it takes a lot of work. So I appreciate you guys.
Awesome. We appreciate you. And thank you. Thanks for having us on too. And like being able to like chat with all this, 'cause it's cool. Even for me, it's been awesome to kind of go through these things and touch upon it. 'Cause, you know, going back to like the burnout thing too, like even like a month or like 2 months back, like I was pretty burnt out from it. You know, as we were saying, like, you know, as it keeps changing and things are happening and you got to learn new things and try new video editing apps and whatnot, you know, it's easy to burn out.
Yeah, I can imagine. I get burned out and I'm, you know, not on it for my personal business reasons. So I can only imagine from your guys' lens what that looks like. But the last topic I'd love to touch on with you guys is brand partnerships, because I think you guys do that flawlessly and you only work with a select handful of brands, not that many that you truly believe in. So what's your process for that like? Do you reach out to them? Do they reach out to you? Go into however much detail you'd like.
Awesome. Yeah, for brands, you know, it's from the beginning, you know, I've been pretty like select with like the brands and, you know, even working with you guys at Ancient, it's, you know, it was a brand that like I vibe with, something I stand behind, and it's products that I've bought in the past. And I, you know, I've just never tried to like, not just say like, oh, this would be cool, I'm just going to accept this, or like, even if it was a paid sponsored post or, you know, partnership, if it wasn't in check with what, you know, what I believed in, like what the values were, wouldn't just take it just to take it. It felt kind of fake to me, if that makes sense. Like it was, you know, it feels just kind of like phony, like putting it out there.
Right. I mean, you're already putting out so much great stuff. Why would you throw in a wrench to the plan that doesn't really go along with the trust that you've built with your audience? You don't want to ruin it by, you know, doing a partnership just for money that could turn people away.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also too, like, you know, at one point it was exciting, like when the page did start to grow and you started to see like a lot more engagement and followers. And you'd get people who'd reach out to you. And that's kind of how we've found people. Was we were fortunate to have them reach out to us. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I remember one time when there was a lot, like people reached out and I was like so excited and I really wanted to jump all over them. But like at the same time, even with the brands I vibe with, I think it was important to like space it out and not just have like a, you know, a sponsor post or like pushing that at people too much, because it does, I think it, a lot of like the, you know, just pushing products out and just saying like, go buy this or try this. If it's every post, I think it can be a little like inauthentic as well.
100%. And I know from the brand side, I can jump in and say that that's another thing that we look at when we partner up with content creators, is we try to make sure that not every post on their page is pushing a different product. I know you guys are ambassadors for us, and you're ambassadors for another brand who I've gotten to connect with as well. And we are all just crazy about you. But I would love to know for the brand side, for my knowing, what is your opinion on ambassador programs? I know certain content creators could, you know, potentially not see the value in that, whereas the intention with ambassador programs is to really create authentic, ongoing partnerships that really prove that it's a product or a brand that you trust and believe in, which, you know, resonates as a positive on both sides. So why do you guys choose to participate in ambassador programs?
I personally like ambassador programs because it makes you feel like there's more of a relationship, as opposed to someone just sending me a product one time and then that I do a post for it and then that's it. Doing an ambassador program allows, I think, both of us to sort of show how much we stand behind a product or a company that we consistently post about. So it doesn't feel like it's kind of a one-stop, one-time situation.
And I think, Julia, like, you've been awesome. And
yeah,
like Ancient.
You guys have one of the best.
Yeah.
I think.
And, you've made it feel like it was so cool to meet everyone in person, too, because I think that's something that's like, you know, it's a big part of it, is like, you know, you have these relationships and you talk to people through email a lot and you're messaging about like different, different campaigns and different things that are going on. But, you know, you guys have like made it so that even though we've, you know, chatted mostly through email and like, you know, we've done different campaigns, that it still felt like a community. And when we met you guys in person, it was awesome, because it like, if you really felt that,
yeah,
still, which has been cool. And that's very rare, because like every time, even if I do like, you know, we'll jump on a campaign for something else, I think that like you guys have set, and you've set an awesome example to like what it should feel like.
Aw, you guys.
We do say that. No, seriously, though.
Yeah,
like, you do an awesome job.
We've had other companies ask us our opinions on, like, companies that do well with their influencers, and you're always the first
one
we recommend.
Well, honestly, the respect goes both ways. And we as a brand really appreciate you guys. And it's evident through your work ethic, how knowledgeable you guys are, how much time that you spend, and how seriously you take, you know, your jobs on and offline, that you guys are awesome partners. And we're super, super lucky to work with you. What is next for you guys? I want to hear about what's in the future, meetups so that I can come do classes with you guys. I mean, come on, what's next?
We would love to like to get a gym one day.
I know.
That'd be the coolest thing ever. Like we've recently, what I've been like gearing towards like business wise is just like looking at other, you know, other gyms and who've like been able to do, still have the online community, but like have a place where like people can come meet up at, which would be amazing.
Yeah. So recently we've been kind of putting together an idea to formulate some sort of group challenge through online training that people can sign up for and almost compete against each other.
Or do it with their friends.
Or do it with their friends. But it wouldn't be as customized or as personalized as our transformation program. But this would be more of a fun opportunity for people to communicate not only with both of us, but with also other people that were doing the program with them.
And in a fun way, like for competing, like we're going to offer like prizes and different things, and not based on like how you look by the end of it, but like adherence to the program,
yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
Like, did you check in for your workouts? Like, did you log and do this? And like, we were, you know, going to put together prizes, but really like the main objective would to be like to have a program to do, you know, with your friends, because that's something that like, I think, you know, a lot of people, they do like working one-on-one, but I think a lot of people do like, you know, with group classes and different things, you know, like doing things with their friends. So I think that could be fun. That could be a really cool way to like, you know, branch out and work with more people at once.
I'm there. Yeah. Next time I'm in LA. I'm going to take Rob's class, though, not Katie's, because I want
to.
Don't take Katie's class.
You might go home crying.
Yeah. We learned one thing from today. It's like, don't worry. No, I'm just kidding. I say that too because I get, when I try Pilates, because my body doesn't bend that way, I'm getting better like at it because I'm incorporating more, but I'll last like 5 or 10 minutes, and that's why I say it's so brutal, because like her core exercises just destroy me.
Core by Katie. That's on brand. Well, where can people reach out to work with you? Where can people follow you?
So easiest way to reach me is actually through Instagram. My Instagram is @Katie_McLennan. I always try to respond to people's messages if you send me one, or there's a link to my website in which I can be contacted that way as well.
And my Instagram is @Rob_Atkin. And same as Katie, you can like shoot me a DM there and we could always chat. Or I also have, if you are interested in like coaching or, you know, working together in person, there's a link on my website as well through Instagram.
If a brand wants to reach out and work with you, do you guys prefer email or direct message?
Either way I think is great. I've done both, but yeah, I actually don't have a preference.
Yeah, only because like the companies that have emailed me directly, I've gone back on Instagram to check their Instagram. So, but then also vice versa, companies that DM me through Instagram first ends up leading into an email. So one tends to always lead into the other. So they both, yeah.
I was going to say this, when a DM comes from like the account itself, I don't question it in my email. Sometimes when I get emails, because you do get like a lot of random emails, I'm always like, oh, is this real?
Yeah.
Because I question it a lot. And then I go on to like double check and try to like get in contact with someone at the company.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I've always been kind of curious about that. And I think probably everyone's a little bit different, but you know, having the blue check mark definitely helps. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. It was a blast. I learned so much from you, and it's just always such a treat hanging out with you guys.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Added Value Podcast with Rob and Katie. I will definitely make sure to link Katie's Cinnabon recipe because I know that we are all craving it after that interview. And make sure to go ahead and share this episode if you got any sort of value from it. We love to know what your feedback is. So share it on Instagram stories, share it with a friend. And then of course, if you're feeling so inclined, we would always appreciate a review on iTunes. That really helps us share our message with more and more ears. So I hope you have a fabulous rest of the day. Go out and chase those goals.